just as important to know what you're not as to what you are, meaning I know what I'm not good at, but even more important is failure. You know, when you're punched in the face, you still got to get up and keep going.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Beyond High Street. Pretty psyched about this conversation coming up here in a second with Matt Bettley. Matt Bettley, my first author on the pod. He's got a new book, Field of Valor, comes out in 6 days, May 22. Get to Amazon now and pre-order it. It's awesome. He's got a series of books. It started with Overwatch, then Oath of Honor, and now Field of Valor. Thriller, military, intense, every page, almost doing a book review here on the pod, which I love. Pretty insightful. And really cool conversation with Matt. He wasn't sure what he wanted to do out of college. Senior year at Miami, actually did an internship in D.C., public defender's office. And then when he came back after school, he had 4 or 5 different jobs into an unbelievable night and a fight that he broke up in a movie theater, which led him down the path of going into the Marines. And when he got out of the Marines, and then he read a book, and he didn't like a book, and it was too slow, it changed his mind, and he sat down and started writing, now a best-selling author 3 books later. Hope you enjoy the conversation. I certainly did.
So for me, I grew up in Cincinnati, and my family moved there in 1978 when I was 6 and a half. And yeah, as a result, I ended up going to St. Xavier High School. And then I had a few choices, but those choices were dictated by the fact that the large metal manufacturing company that my family owned went bankrupt in 1987. Hmm. We had like 5,000 employees. They all lost their jobs. It was in the newspapers. I'm a huge Bengals fan because my family actually owned one of their original practice fields called Spinney Field. Huh. It was in an industrial area. Actually, all the plants surrounded it were my family's. But again, we lost everything. So then my choices were limited. I had a scholarship, I believe, to Boston University. I applied to a few other schools. I was accepted to all of them. But at the time, Miami just made the most sense, especially in-state tuition and the school, known as one of the, I don't know if they still call it like the Harvard of the Midwest, but it was just because it looks like Harvard in the Midwest, and it's an excellent school. So Miami was the natural choice for me.
And we're going to talk here in a second about Field of Valor, your next book that's coming out in a few days. But when you went to Miami and walked on campus at 18 or whatever age in Oxford, were you a writer? Were you thinking to be an author? Or what was your world back then?
God, the world back then is I was just a young, arrogant, idiotically naive college freshman who thought I knew a lot more than I did.
Sounds like and me. Who,
yeah, exactly. And it was a crazy weekend binge drinker on top of it. You know, I'm convinced the fact that I actually did very well in school was also partly a justification for my weekend antics. But no, I never wanted to be a writer. In fact, I didn't get the writing bug until, 20 years later when I was getting ready to get out of the Marine Corps. I was sober for 6 months. I was on vacation with my wife, and I was reading and this was in 2009. I was reading a boring bestseller. Actually, 2009, I was reading a boring bestseller that had been recommended by Stephen King, and I turned to my wife and I just said, I was so bored, I was angry, like viscerally angry, and I just said, I could do a better job than this, and I obsessed about it for a full year, and then started writing in August of 2010, and that was it. I had no creative, no masters of fine arts in creative writing or anything like that. I was always excellent with grammar and English and a very sarcastic person. And after 10 years of experience in the Marine Corps with a lot of tactical training, I just put it all together.
What was so boring? I mean, what was it that when you...
So for me, there's a great Australian action writer named Matthew Riley, and his pace is fantastic. And I've tried to emulate that, but I've actually turned it in my own direction where I write in my books, and this is the third one where you'll have like a 60-page action sequence, and you will literally feel like you are in the book. In In fact, last night, the paperback for my second novel, Oath of Honor, just came out, and I received a message at 3 in the morning from a reader saying, I haven't been to bed because I can't put this down. Hmm. And I'm just, which is the best kind of feedback that you can ask for as an author. But with this book that I was reading, I think no one fired a shot until like the end, and it was like the worst choreographed gunfight I'd ever read. And I was just like, this is so boring. How can you have this world-class spy thriller that's just this boring?
And so you went to school, psychology, and a little minors, I guess, in sociology and political science. And did you use that leaving Oxford? Was that where you went from your first job?
Well, actually, see, for me, no, in there, which isn't actually in my bio, they were pre-law minors, and in fact, I did an internship in Washington, D.C. the first semester of my senior year investigating felony murder cases for the public defender's office.
How did you get that internship?
Through the sociology department, and I can't remember the professor's name. I think it was Sherry Corbett, maybe. Maybe that was who it was. But there was an internship. Now, what I didn't know was that D.C. literally has the best public defender's office in the country. Every year, you have hundreds of top-notch attorneys from top Ivy League law schools who apply for a couple positions, and they, you know, bite their teeth on hardened criminal cases for like 10 years, and then they can go out and make a fortune in a private sector. I worked for one attorney who had clerked for Thurgood Marshall, and the other attorney I worked murder cases for had actually was on the UVA board, the board at the law school. So these are highly qualified people. But no, so I always had that kind of itch, and once I returned from that internship, no longer a very naive 21-year-old, especially after doing what I did. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. I ended up working, and I actually tried to get a job back in D.C. as a full-time investigator, but they weren't hiring. There was budget cuts and all sorts of things, and even with the experience that I had, so I ended up, let's see, I think I delivered pizza for a bit after graduating college. I worked in a bank at one point. I worked as a guidance counselor, as a day treatment facility. And then nothing really stuck until I ended up investigating accidents with injuries and fatalities for Allstate in Cincinnati. And it was there that I decided I was going to go to a top 10 law school. And I was also the captain of Miami's mock trial team. And we came in, I think, 11th in the country when I was there.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, they won the national championship last week.
It doesn't surprise me. Dr. Dan Heron was our coach. I know he retired a couple of years ago. But when I came back 2 years ago to speak, and when I was on my first book tour, he told me that they now have built multiple classrooms. They've won several national titles. And he actually used to tell the students about our team because it was the first time that a Miami team had done really, really well. And this was, gosh, in 94, I believe. And you know, he said that he described myself and the other co-captain as kind of paving the way. But you know, it was unbelievable to actually see the facilities they have there now. It was somewhat intimidating. I was like, wow, this is definitely a league apart from where we used to have to practice in a small classroom in Upham Hall.
Yeah. Well, and I think I saw on Facebook, I think they actually beat Yale last week to win the national title.
That is awesome. I know. That is fantastic.
So you jump, as you said, then you found your way to the Marines. And
yes.
And I'm not a huge bio guy, but yep. When your bio says you were originally trained as a scout sniper platoon commander, that always makes me ask the question.
Yes. So in my case, I was getting ready to take the LSAT. I had a good GPS. I definitely thought I had a shot at like a top 10 law school. And I was, at the time, I had just won a state title in martial arts, and this must have been in 98. And I was actually in a movie theater, and long story short, out of 400 people, I'm the only person who stood up and stopped somebody from getting beaten up in a movie theater at the Springdale Cinema over there in the suburbs of Cincinnati. And, you know, I inserted myself into a situation that I didn't know, but I ended up de-escalating it and when that happened, I realized right then and there, it was a completely life-changing moment, because as I got up to help this person, I'll never forget the other people in the theater say, yeah, go get them out, you know, and I'm thinking, what the hell are you people doing? You're just sitting here, like you're urging me on and you're not helping. I'm like, that's great. And as a result, no kidding, I gave up law school and I called the Marine Corps the next day. And I think within a year, I was at officer candidate school in Quantico, Virginia in 1999. And then I spent 10 years as an officer. I was fortunate enough to command a scout sniper platoon. I deployed to Africa after 9/11 in an intelligence support position, because by then I had already been done with my platoon time. And then I deployed to Fallujah from 06 to 07, right before the surge, when it was not a good time to be in Al Anbar province in Iraq. I did 10 years, I got out, and then I had my next call on. I got a job with the government, but then I started pursuing the writing, and here we are.
Yeah, that brings us now. So then you read a book, you're bored as heck throughout it. You tell the spouse it's time to I'm all in. You spend a year and then you start writing. And then where and I know this is personal, but you talk about it often. Where does the alcoholism and being a recovering, I guess, addict or alcoholic? Yeah, thank you. Not wrong word. Does that come into play in the writing, or it just comes through with some of the characters that you write about?
Well, so the protagonist is Logan West. He's a former Force Reconnaissance Platoon commander who, when you meet him on the first page of my first book, is emerging from a blackout relapse because of something that happened to him when he was in Fallujah in 2004. And that's how everybody meets my main character. So for me, I basically wrote half of my personality into one character and the other half into Logan West's sidekick, John Quick. Huh. It's a very easy series to write, because anybody who knows me knows I don't take myself seriously, because I've had a very serious life. I have a very self-deprecating, sarcastic sense of humor, which is a lot like John Quick. But then, you know, having done what I've done, if I get really torqued or angry, Logan does what I would want to do to people. So, you know, it's just unfortunately, but there's also a difference between fantasy and fiction. You know, in reality, you can't beat the hell out of the guy who speeds like 50 miles an hour in a school zone, because then you end up going to jail, and you know, it's just not a good thing.
And so take us now. So Field of Valor, that we just talked about, that comes out in a couple days, which we're going to get everyone to purchase, maybe pre-order on Amazon or anywhere
Barnes
else.
Noble, Amazon, yep. Anywhere. Yep. It's the third book in the series. You know, the first book, Overwatch, came out in 2016. It was named a top 10 book of the year by the Military Times. It was nominated for the Barry Award for overall thriller. It's really the origin story for Logan West and John Quick. The second book, Oath of Honor, as I mentioned, the paperback just came out. That takes place 2 years after Overwatch, and we have a shadowy figure trying to bring China and the U.S. at loggerheads to create global instability. And then we have Field of Valor, which takes place 6 months after the events of Oath of Honor. And I don't want to give away too much of the plot, because I do write a series with new characters, not many characters make it, you know, the story arc is constantly evolving, although each book is a self-contained story. So Field of Valor, though, this one takes place all over D.C., Chesapeake Bay, Northern Virginia, and it is a rocket ride. I mean, it literally starts with a windshield shattering from gunshots, and then you are off to the races at 100 miles an hour for 400 pages. I mean, just flat out.
Oh, keep going. Sorry.
No. Which is the style that I write. I write very intense, violent, emotional, very emotional, action-packed roller coaster rides. Period.
And so how do you write a series but also self-contained books? How challenging is that?
It just depends. Right now I'm working on the fourth one for 2019, and that one, it's definitely a continuation. And you always want everybody to go back and pick up the series, but you also want to be able to attract new readers and that they can pick it up. And if you give you know, just a short paragraph summary or refer to events previously. Hopefully they just feel like they're being thrown right into the middle of it. It is a challenge, but it's also just, you know, part of the genre, because I'm not the only one writing a series. You have other series where they're on their 15th book, 16th book. I will say that this initial story arc will be wrapped up with four books, and then because I have new characters that people absolutely love, I might tell an origin story for one of those people. I've already got another book completely planned out in my head as well. But it just depends on the story.
And then as a author or writer first, is a next step, a goal, a dream to have a book or multiple books turn into a movie or a TV series, where does Logan West, I guess, or any of these characters, where could they go next outside of a book?
Well, where they will go is, we're very fortunate in that we actually did reach an agreement for a worldwide movie franchise with Thunder Road Pictures, the same studio that brought you all the John Wick movies, other movies like Sicario and The Town. And the book is being adapted as we speak into the screenplay. We've already named a screenwriter, G.P. Davis, but the producer is a guy named Breeden Aftergood, who produced Wind River, Hell or High Water, Lone Survivor, Battleship, and he's worked on a ton of other movies. I mean, the intent is to make a franchise of action thrillers that are a combination of John Wick, Lone Survivor, and Sicario, because that's kind of what I write, with a lot of sarcasm thrown in.
And do you envision Logan West to be in a video game in the near future?
I don't know about that. That is something that it's kind of funny. I'm actually a lifelong gamer ever since 1978 and this system called Intellivision.
Sure.
And I mean, I'm a hardcore gamer, although obviously with life, I don't have much time for it. I am actually being considered to write a video game for a huge franchise, but I'm going to not say much more about that right now because I don't want to jinx anything. And quite honestly, I would be surprised if I'm selected. But you never know unless you try. Like I said, I know I'm being considered by the director of that series. But as for Logan West, not right now. There are no plans for that. But of course, I would love to see that happen. I'd be happy to actually write a different story for a video game series, especially since I've been such a gamer.
And just so I can throw my knowledge in television, the football game, when the play of 9-1-1 was the fly pattern, which I remember very well as a kid, too. We're the same age, as we've talked with a buddy you grew up with and a groomsman of mine, Mike Black. So pretty funny. Let's go back to your book writing, though. I'm interested in, I guess, the first book, because now you're writing number four, but how do you start? Do you start with, here's Logan West, he's a little bit of me, he's a little bit of fantasy and fiction, or do you start with, here's a story, and here's an idea of a story, start and finish, and now I got to fill in a couple hundred pages?
So in my case, I knew exactly what I wanted to do before I sat down and started writing. I had the sequences in my head. I knew where the story was going to go. I knew how I wanted it to play out. I'm very methodical. And as a result, I actually sat down and wrote exactly what I wanted, and I was quite happy when I finished because it turned out exactly as I planned. And I'm very fortunate in the fact that, you know, I spent so much time editing that when it was turned in finally, it was a very, very polished first draft. You know, I believe that it took me my entire life to be a complete idiot, especially for people who knew me when I was younger, to get my head on straight and to be where I am doing what I was meant to be doing, which is telling highly entertaining, hopefully, what people consider to be highly entertaining stories.
Yeah, well, and we'll talk about it here in a second, because I know you went back to Miami a couple years ago speaking to the ROTC and others on campus. I think your story is fascinating. I always talk about all the different people that come out of Miami with great success, but no two roads are the same. And, I mean, yours couldn't be more truth to that. You know, senior year with an internship, coming back, not sure what to do. And it sounds like five or six different stints of other work until you run into a movie theater de-escalation event that changes the course of your life for really the next 20 plus years.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the truth. I mean, it was a life changing event. It was the kind of thing I would insert into a story and make up, except that I know it's true because I it happened. And then obviously everything kind of built up into what I do now. The reason I talk about sobriety and recovery so much is that, you know, without it, I'd have none of this. You wouldn't be talking to me. No one would know who I am. I wouldn't have a family. I'd kind of be dead, miserable, alone, all of the above. And it just depends. But, you know, life is a progression and we all just got to keep pushing forward.
And what was the message or the reason you went back to Miami to talk to Rotzi? Was it a book?
I talked about the books for about the last 5 minutes, but mostly I talked about my time in the Marine Corps, my time at Miami, the drinking that I engaged in. Basically, don't do what I did. let me tell you, I'm a very fortunate person, standing here today before you, but it wasn't always like that. And there were people in that program who were struggling with the same issue, probably in the same way that I did when I was at Miami. That's why I tell the story, because if my story can resonate with just one person who can turn his or her situation around, then it makes it all worth it. I mean, it's the most important thing I can talk about ever.
Yeah, well, I totally understand that and agree with that. It's interesting. I'm just trying to think in my head about it too, of the message also to kids who come out of school with the pressure of a job immediately, and almost the dream job immediately, and that's not always the case. And trying different experiences until something falls, if it's luck that you were there, a coincidence in the movie theater, but more than that, you would also try different things to try to experience and learn what ultimately would be a place you would settle in for the rest of your business or personal career.
Well, yeah. In fact, that's another thing that I always talk about is it's kind of a twofold, is that one, it's just as important to know what you're not as to what you are, meaning I know what I'm not good at, but even more important is failure. When you're punched in the face, you still got to get up and keep going. Failure is, I believe, the greatest teacher for life experience, because how you react to it, it determines who and what you are. I absolutely believe that. So that's why it's important to get out there when you're young and realize that failure is not the end of it. It's what you do with that will determine where you end up.
That was an interesting conversation. I really, really enjoyed it. No two roads, as we said in the pod, are the same. And Matt is proof point of that. Not sure where he was going to go out of school, trying a number of different jobs, the challenges he had with alcoholism, and the path that he has set since. And he has now figured out what his passion is and his life and his work career. Third book upcoming again in 6 days, Field of Valor. Get that on Amazon. Let's support another Miamian in his professional career. But really enjoyed his time, and thank you, Matt, for spending it with us. I hope everyone has a good day. I'll see you at Skipper's.